living year by year on extensions. We're racing the clock against potentially getting new engines or solving the problem.
The Marine Highway System says a long-term solution is needed for ferry problems. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Time could be running out for the fast ferry Fairweather. It's been plagued with engine problems, which are the subject of a lawsuit against the ship's builder. Captain John Falvey told the Marine Transportation Advisory Board on Friday that approval to use the engines runs out this April, but he says that deadline could be extended after an off-season examination.
We're hoping that, you know, what we see is okay and we can get another extension. We're kind of living year by year on extensions. We're racing the clock against potentially getting new engines or solving the problem and keeping the fast ferries running.
The Juneau-based Fairweather, which used to run in the Upperland Canal, was out of service for about 2 weeks recently due to an engine system crack that leaked oil. Approval for the Cordova-based Chiniga, the state's other fast ferry, will run out next July. But it's a younger ship, and Falvey expects it to easily win an extension. The ferry Columbia is also having engine trouble. The ship is almost 40 years old. Its return to service last May was delayed due to an engine problem. Falvey says a long-term solution is needed.
We had a mechanical problem in one of the cylinders, so we lost quite a few days. We got it fixed. Boat's been running okay since. We are in the design process of new engines. That's federal money. We would hope to be able to obligate that sometime in spring or early summer.
Falvey also says an upgrade is planned for the ferry Kennecott's lift, an elevator that carries cars and trucks down to its vehicle deck. It'll allow easier loading in Yakutat, where the ship has had problems.
We plan to install the tie-downs during the Kennecott's state overhaul this winter. So we will have a mechanism to secure cars up on that lift basically all the time, you know, in any kind of weather condition.
Several other ships will undergo repairs and maintenance this winter. Apparently, when people come to the Chilkat Valley, they really want to see a bald eagle eat something.
So how are you guys doing?
Fine.
My name is Ed, and this is Scotty. And as you can tell, Scotty is a mature bald eagle.
Tourists to Haines this summer finally got what they were looking for.
Well, it's a cruise day, yeah. But even ever since Scotty went in there, he's the star of the show now. People want to see you feed a live eagle. I don't know.
The American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines began offering eagle feeding demonstrations this season in their newly built eagle flight enclosure with a handler that joined the foundation this spring.
My name is Ed Podgorski, and I'm a raptor handler.
Ed from Wasilla leads the eagle demonstrations. They've been so popular since starting in August. There are scheduled showings every afternoon, Monday through Saturday, with the biggest day being Wednesday, when Haines has a cruise ship at Port Chilkoot Dock.
Oh, I think it's incredible, because when this is the American Bald Eagle Foundation, people want to see live eagles. They want to see them up close, and I think they want to see that the interaction between man and eagle, just feeding them. And we, it's food, but we kind of have that bond where he knows I'm the food source, and so he trusts me, and he lets me approach him, lets me get close to him, and then he just takes the food from me.
The groups, sometimes of more than 50 tourists, assemble at the foundation at 2:30 nearly every afternoon on refinished gym bleachers from the old school. They still learn about local rehab centers, reverse sexual dimorphism, eagle vision, flight feathers.
The primary flight feathers on a bird propel the bird through the air. The secondary flight feathers give the bird lift. Well, the bone he broke was his radius, and that's part of the forearm, the radius and the ulna, and that's where the secondary flight feathers attach. So to make a long story short, he can fly, but he can't get any lift.
But the real oohs and ahs are mostly held back until the eagle's snack time. That is also showtime for Scotty the Eagle.
So he gets anywhere from 300 to 400 grams of fish, rat, quail, bunny a day. And he ate 100 or so earlier, so he had about 325 a day.
I like watching the eagle fly from different places.
And a lot of people come here from Lower 48, and they don't see bald eagles very much, especially that close. They just, you know, I used to live in Indiana and Ohio, and if you saw a bald eagle, it was a good day. It just, you just don't see them very much.
The Bald Eagle Foundation has grown in just a few years from a museum-type facility with exhibits and a diorama room to a multifaceted activity center with live birds, mews for housing them, training programs, and a master mew. That room, which was just finished, is where people can view rehabilitated birds in an enclosed environment that mimics the natural environment of the birds on the Chilkat River.
Those two little boxes there?
That's a nest box. There's a heater in there. So in the wintertime, you know, I mean, he's really spoiled. He gets fed every day, and he gets a heater box.
Yeah, and he has a little pool in there. We turn the waterfall on, and he can bathe in there, and I think I want to live in here with him.
Basically, we did everything up until now. The interns, even some of the junior raptor handlers helped. Dan, Cheryl, we all did it together and put the mural up, painted it, put all the little gravel down, painted the pond, put all the perches up, built the nest box. It's a team effort, yeah. And it was finally done, looked over, just made sure it was safe, and we put Scotty in there.
The Bald Eagle Foundation plans to continue the live bald eagle feeding demonstrations at least through this fall's Bald Eagle Festival, and definitely next year. Locals are welcome to view the demonstrations, too. It's free for members and $10 otherwise for access to the whole museum.
It's fantastic. No, really, it's very exciting to see the future here. I'm very, well, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm excited for the future.
KHNS FM radio is finishing with antenna maintenance this week. That means no signal on 91.9 on Thursday, September 15th. That is where Skagway listeners usually tune into the area public radio station. Meanwhile, all listeners should be able to get the regular air signal through 102.3. KHNS manager Kay Clements says engineers are planning to have 91.9 back up by Friday. For more information, call station management at 983-2853. Or 766-2020. South of here, ADS work is in full swing at the Wrangell Carving Shed. That's ADS like ADZE, as in a woodworking tool. Master carvers, including one from Haynes, have been offering Southeast Alaska locals the chance to learn how to craft their own ADSing tool and begin ADSing training in hopes of developing a group of local carvers in Wrangell. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has more on the ADSing classes, as well as the next stages of the Chief Shakes Tribal House Restoration Project.
Those are the sounds of grinding, sanding, shaping, and tempering, all part of the process of creating a traditional ADS. For the past week, the Wrangell Carving Shed has been bustling with activity as locals of all ages learn the basics of the craft.
We've been waiting for them to do something like this for years because there's not a whole lot of carvers in town. So
that's local Shane Gillen. Him and his sister, Daisy Gillen, are working on their first elbow ADS tools. Daisy says this is a part of her culture she's always wanted to learn more about.
Because I'm Native, and I wanted to know kind of where I came from and the tools they used and just a little bit more about my heritage.
They've only been carving for a few hours, but they both already have solid handles carved out and are preparing to work on the next stage of their ADS.
Almost done. Notch out of here and put your blade in and wrap it, and you're done.
The Wrangell Cooperative Association teamed up with master carvers Steve Brown and Wayne Price to organize the training, with the goal of sharing their traditional craft, but also developing a local interest of ADSing in the Wrangell community. They hope once classes are finished, there will soon be locals who will be able to be a part of the carving team for the Chief Shakes Tribal House Restoration Project.
We're taking basically found objects like leaf springs and tree branches.
That's Master Carver Steve Brown.
Which is the way the old timer ones were made. And we're putting them together and creating a good cutting edge and a appropriate relationship between the angle of the blade and the angle of the handle so that we get good functional tools. And we've had a great turnout and a good bunch of people who have created some very good-looking serviceable tools.
Over the week, carvers have been working around the clock. One of those carvers is Justin Smith, who's from Whitehorse in the Yukon Territory. He's here as a part of an apprenticeship to work on the Chief Shakes Tribal House. He's been carving for 10 years and says there's a great deal of history to consider when approaching a project like this.
Well, you can see it on the clan house, on the walls and everywhere, all over the house. There's a certain way that they add in that pattern. I don't know, to me it looks like waves from the ocean, the way the pattern comes out. And that's how you could tell a really good adzer. Beginner.
Smith has been involved in a number of carving projects from New Mexico to Alaska, and he says the preservation of cultures is something he's passionate about and encourages all the beginning carvers to be patient.
You just got to do it. Just like anything, the more practice, the better you get.
Master Carver Wayne Price says once the carving workshop is finished, intensive training will begin.
We'll see who holds out, who makes it, who can start picking it up. It's not something we're going to learn right away. I've yet to meet anyone who has. And it takes time. It takes time. So people that come down and practice and practice technique, keeping their tools sharp, keeping from putting on too many Band-Aids, then we'll see who stands out. So, yeah, it's going to take time.
The first phase of the project will be the daunting task of adding nearly 7,000 square feet of boards and beams for the restored tribal house, which Price says must be completed before any further work can be done. For KSTK, I'm Charlotte Duran.
Haynes is planning their own carving toolmaking class with Chilkat Valley carver Jim Heaton through community education. Call 766-6727 for more information. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Charlotte Duran for their help with this report.